Okay, we're going to start here on the top. You'd better with Aleph by the two dots. I'm Rav Nachman, I'm a Rav. Ra'a echad sheshachat, person sees someone else doing shechita. Imra'u mitchila v'ad sof, if he witnesses the shechita from the beginning until the end, mutar le'chol mishchitato, then one is permitted to eat from that shechita because they can see that the shechita was done properly. V'imlav, that's not the case, meaning they didn't see it from beginning to end, asur le'chol mishchitato, you cannot partake of that shechita. Gemara wants to know, hey chidami, what's the situation in which we're speaking? Idiodo de gamar, if we know for sure that he's a bucky and he'll chot shechita, lamalira, why do I need him to see it from beginning to end? It should be enough that he's knowledgeable and he'll chot shechita, and that should be sufficient. Why do I need to also see him to make sure that it's done right? Vidiodo de lo gamir, if we know for certain he does not know that he'll chot shechita, shita. Of course, it doesn't work unless you see him from beginning to end. How could we trust him if he doesn't know he'll chot shechita? Ve'ela, so what must be the case over here? Delo yada, igamir, ilo gamir. He's uncertain. He doesn't know if this individual knows hilchot shechita or doesn't know hilchot shechita. So therefore, he has to see it. If he sees that everything's all right, we assume either he learned the hilchot shechita or now we've seen that he did it okay and it's fine. If he doesn't see it, since he doesn't know, he can't be somech on this individual. The Gemara says, lema, rov mitzui mitzul shechita mumchim hen. When we don't know whether he learned hilchot shechita or not, our underlying assumption should be that rove of the people who get involved with being shochet know hilchot shechita. They wouldn't be involved, they wouldn't put themselves in position to do shechita unless they were knowledgeable about shechita. If that's the case, we should be somech on the fact that this individual, if we don't know he's learned, that most likely he did learn hilchot shechita and it should be fine. Milo tanya, don't we have a braita that supports that position? Shrei matza tarnagolet shchuta bashuk. Finds a tarnagolet that was already shechted in the shuk. Oh, shamar l'shchuchom. Says to his representative, his agent, say shachot, go out and do the shechita on my behalf, alach. Then the balabayit, the sender, goes out, umatza shachot, and he finds the animal actually shachot. Chezkato shachot. We assume that it's a good shechita. Why do we assume it's a good shechita? Alma, amrinan, rov mitzvim etzo shechita mumchim. That we assume that most people who get involved with shechita are mumchim, and if you find an animal that's shachot, we assume it was done correctly. So over here, where you find it in the shuk, or you sent out your shliach, and then you find it shachut afterwards, even though you don't know whether your agent did it or not, we assume that whoever got involved with the shechita and did it over here is fine. So if we say that by the breito, hachanami, why don't we say in our case, lema rov mitzvim etzo shechita mumchim hen? When it says, though, the olam, the case must be diada delo gamir. We are certain that he didn't learn hilchot shechita. Ukugon shachachat kaman chad siman shapir. We witnessed him doing shechita on one of the simanim properly. Maudetem, I would think, midahai shapir, since he did already one of the simanim just fine. Hachnami shapir, he'll do the second siman fine. I don't have to witness him actually doing the second siman. Kamash malon, the answer is no. You have to see it from beginning to end. Hai itrume itramile, that he got lucky in the first siman that he did it correct. Idach shema shaha shema daras. But in the second siman, maybe he made a mistake and he was shoheh. He delayed somehow, or Darasi pushed through. Those are two things that you need to witness at the time. It's something you can't tell after the fact. The other psulim you can look at after the fact. So these two, which if you come after the fact, you can't tell. You have to be there to witness whether he did it correctly or not. So we don't extrapolate from the fact that he did the first siman correctly, that he will do the second siman correctly as well. And you have to witness it from beginning to end. Now, boy mine Rav Dimi bar Yosef and Rav Nachman. Rav Dimi asked Rav Nachman, Ha'omer lishlucho, tzei v'shachut, go out and do a shechita on my behalf, v'halach umatza shachut. And then he goes out and he finds the animal shachut. Mahu, what do we assume here? What's the din of this animal? It's the braita that we saw above. Amalo cheskato shachut. We assume that it's a good shechita. Ha'omer lishlucho, on the other hand, if someone appoints an agent to go out, tzei v'tarum, go out and take off truma on my behalf, v'halach umatza tarum, and then he goes and finds that it was taken off. My, what's the din? Amalei, ein chazkato tarum. Over there, we don't assume that the truma was done by the shliach, and we worry about the fact that it was done by a third party. So he says, manavshach, I don't understand, Rav Nachman. I chazaka shliach ose shlichato. If we believe that when an agent takes the charge to do something, that he carries out the obligation to its full extent, then it should be afilu truma nami. Even in truma too, then it should work. If we don't believe that when an agent accepts the charge, that he will fully carry it out, that maybe he will, maybe he won't, we don't assume he does it, then afilu shchita anamilo. My shchita also, it should not work. Meaning, why does it work by shchita and it does not work by truma? Seems to be that you're inconsistent in your logic. Rashi just points out over here, chazaka shliach osish shlichato, he says, kol ashluchim osim shlichutan, all agents carry out their charge. And we assume they do so. Why? By the fact that they accepted their agency and they agreed to the agency, we assume that means that they plan on carrying it out and discharging it fully. So if that's the case, and we believe that, then it should work in both cases. If we don't say that, then we should say it won't work in both cases. He says, if you go measure out a kura of salt for me, I mean, if you go do that work for me, as payment in return for the answer to this question. And Rashi says, it was just a joke, but he's basically saying, you know, I'll give you the answer, but you got to pay me first. So, the conclusion is that we don't assume that an agent carries out his charge to the fullest extent. Person accepts the agency, we hope that he'll do it, but if we don't get back the information that he's done it, we don't assume that it's done. Ushchita, so if that's the case, it explains what happened with Truma, that it's no good. But by Shchita, why is it that it's okay? Inami, Dilma Ina Shachrina, Shama Vazal. What's the possibility over here? There are two possibilities. Either Shliach did his Shlichuto, and it was a good Shchita, or the other possibility is someone else did the Shchita. Someone else overheard the conversation, went ahead and did the Shchita for him, or someone else did the Shchita. So what's the problem now? It's either the Shliach, or it's someone else. So if it's a Shliach, we're fine. If it's someone else, then what's the din? That we know that there's a principle that the rov that are found by shchita are considered to be mumchim, and we can assume that it was a proper shchita. So even though we don't know who it is, the fact that there was a shchita done, and it looks like a kosher shchita, we're going to assume that the person who did it was knowledgeable in doing it. Truma, so why don't we say the same thing by truma? Either the shliach did it on his behalf, or a third party overheard them and did it on his behalf. But either way, what he wanted got accomplished. Well, we can't say that. Dimai shachrino shama vazal taram. Maybe someone else overheard them and went and did the truma on his behalf. Havei toreim shalom idat. That is a toreim without permission, without charge. You have to be an agent in order to perform the separation of truma. And that we learn out from gamatem, that they have to be shulchachem kamotchem, that your shliach has to be like you, just like you have to separate the truma midat. So too, the shliach has to have permission and your dat to separate it. Vatoreim shalom idat ain't trumato truma. So if someone is Torem Shlomidat, his Truma is not considered to be a good Truma. So the differentiation in the cases is not because of the agency issue, it's about because of the principles that are involved in each case. By Shchita, we have a principle that the rov that are found by Shchita are good, Shochtim, and we can assume that the meat is kasher, and therefore, even if it wasn't the Shliach, in that case that it wasn't the Shliach, then you're okay anyway. On the other hand, by Truma, it must be done by the agent. If it's not done by the agent, then the Truma is not a good Truma. And if another party did it, it would fail. So if they're besafek, we can't assume that the Truma was done properly or that the Shliach did it. Because we don't have that underlying assumption that an agent always carries out his charge. Gemara now says, Lema rov tzume so shkita mumchim heim tnahi. Let us say this idea, that whether we assume that someone who's found by Shchita is automatically assumed to be ala rov, a good shochet, let's say that it's subject to a machloket tanaim. Because at Tanya we have a braita, hare, shavdu lo gidi'a v'tarnoglav, he lost his goats, his kids, and his chickens. Balach, he goes out to search for them, and he finds them, but they're shchutim, they're found shochut. Rebuto oser, Rebuto says they're asurim, because you don't know who did the Shchita, therefore they're asurim. M'chenina b'nosha rabiosi, aglidi matir, says that they're fine. Rov mitzvim asur shchita are b'kiyam heim, so therefore we'll assume that it's fine. Tosafot points out over here that it's not only true by aveda if you lost them, but this is even true by geneva if they were stolen. Because just because these individuals are chashud al geneva doesn't mean they're chashud al nevela. So even though they're ganavim, we'll still assume that whatever happened to this animal in the shchita that took place is fine. And he says, the Tosefta says that explicitly. It quotes our case here of Haresh Avdu, but instead of Avdu there it says Ganvu. So we see that the din is true not only by Aveda, but also by Geneva.
So I'm a Rabbi. Rabbi comments on this, Nirin Divrei Shel Rabbi Yehuda. It makes sense what Rabbi Yehuda says, Shematzan Bashpa. If he found them in the dump, then it makes sense what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, that we should say they're Asur, because why else would you put them in the dump unless they were not Kshirim? V'divrei Rabbi Chanina B'nosh Rabbi Yosi Aglidei Shematzan Babayit. And what Rabbi Chanina ben Osher Rabbi Yossi says makes a lot of sense when it's found in the house. My lav. What is this machloket hanei? B'hakam iflegei. This is their argument. Demar sabar minin rov mitzui metzo shkita mumchimein. Rabbi Chanina ben Osher Rabbi Yosef Glili believes that the rov mitzui metzo shkita are mumchim, and therefore we can rely on the fact that these animals that are nishkat are kshirim. Umar Savar, on the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda says, Lo amrin and rov mitzui metzo shkita mumchimein, and therefore we cannot rely on the fact that these are nishkat here, and we'll assume that they are asur. So Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Lo. That's not the machloket here. The Kulei Alma, everybody agrees, Rov mitzui metzo shkita mumchimein. This upholds what we had said before, which is that rov that are found by shkita, we assume are mumchimein. So what is the argument here? Ube bayit. In the house, if they're found in a house, the Kulei Alma lo plige, everybody agrees, the shari, that they're mutar. Over there, if they're found in the house, it's obvious they're in a location where someone plans on eating them. Then it makes a lot of sense that the shkita is considered to be a good shkita. Be'ashpa shebashuk, if you find them in the public dump, then the Kulei Alma lo plige dasur. Assume there that they are asur, because why would else would someone put them in the public dump unless they were nevelot or they were problematic? Kiblige, their machlokas is, in the case bashpa shebabait. He finds them in the dump by the house, the local dump or the personal dump that he has outside the house. Or, as Tosu points out, he finds them in the shuk shelo bashpa. Finds them in the shuk where it's not in a dump. Mar savar, adam asur latil nevelot bashpa shebabait. One of them holds, meaning Rabbi Yehuda, that a person does dump his nevela in the personal dump or the household dump right outside its house, even though over time the nevela will rot and smell. Nevertheless, people temporarily, or at least for a time period, will put him there. Marzavar ein adam mosila tio nevela to bashpashu babayit. And Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, says, no, people don't do that because of the smell, because of the rot. They're going to put the nevela somewhere else. So if it's here by the house, even though it's in the dump, we're going to assume that it's a good shkita. Now the Gemara is going to look at the position of Rabbi in the context of what we just suggested. Amar Rabbi, nirin divi Rabbi Yehuda, shmatzan bashpa. Rabbi Yehuda's statement that it's a sur makes sense when you find them in the dump. May ashpa. What dump are you talking about here? Ilei mashpa shebashuk. If you're talking about the public dump, then amart dekuli ama lo plige. We just said that everybody agrees in that case. The implications from Rabbi's statement that he says one of their positions makes sense here, the other position makes sense here, is that they argue in all these cases. He's just indicating where he thinks the position of Rabbi Yehuda makes sense, where the position of Rabbi Chanina makes sense. So if you say it's in the dump in the shuk, everybody agreed that that's a sur. Ela la pshita be'ashpa shebabayit. It must be that he's speaking at a case. We're talking about the personal dump or the local dump. So if that's the case, he's suggesting now that Rabbi Yehuda's position makes more sense there, that it's a sur. Ema seifa. Now, what are you going to do with the second part of Rabbi's statement? V'dibri Rabbi Chanina ben Osher Rabbi Yosi Aglili shematzan babayit. It makes sense when you find them in the house that the position of Rabbi Chanina, who says it's mutar, ma bayit. What are you talking about in the house? Ilam bayit mamash. We're talking about really in the house. Hamar to kuli amal lo plige de shori. Everybody agrees that it's mutar. And again, the suggestion of Rabbi that nirin divrei says that they're arguing, and I think that one of them makes more sense than the other. So over here, you can't say in the bayit that's the case because everybody agrees in the bayit that it's mutar. Elabshita, what's the case here? Bashbasha babayit, we're talking about the household dump by the local dump. And now he's saying that Rabbi Chanina makes more sense. Kasho to Rabbi Adarabi. Two positions, the two statements of Rabbi are now contradictory. One of them suggests that the local dump, the halacha should be like Rabbi Yehuda, that's the ratio. And the second position is that the personal dump, the household dump, should be the halacha like Rabbi Chanina, that's mutar. And that is a stira. So hachi kamar, this is what it means. Nirin divrei Rabbi Yehuda li Rabbi Chanina ben Osher Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Not coming to suggest that this is the psak halacha one daya as opposed to the other daya, but rather he's explaining to us what their machloket is in the braita. He's saying that nirin divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says it's asur. Rabbi Chanina ben Osher Rabbi Yosi Aglili agrees to him bashpa shebashuk. When it comes to the public dump, even Rabbi Chanina agrees that it's asur. Because the machloket only revolves around when you're talking about the local or the household dump. He agrees to him. And then the seifa will be the same way, that Rabbi Chanina's position that it's mutar in the bayit, that position is also held by Rabbi Yehuda, because it makes a lot of sense. They only argue in a case where it's the local or personal dump, or again, as Tosfot says, in the shuk, whether it's not in the dump. And that's where the machloket is. So Rabbi's coming to narrow for us, or basically explaining to us what we had learned from Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, that the machloket revolves around this narrower case. In the extremes, both Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yehuda agree, if it's in the public dump, that it's asur, and if it's in the house, that it's mutar. The machloket is narrowed down to the case where it's in the household, the local dump, or it's in the shuk when it's not in the dump. Right now, the Mishnah said, "Chutz micheresh shoteh v'katan, that one may not have a cheresh shoteh katan do the shchita, shemi yikalkulu et shchitatan, because maybe they'll mess up the shchita, they'll ruin the shchita. Shemi kilkulu loktani, doesn't say maybe they will cause a problem. Ella shema yikalkulu. As Rashi says, it's almost an assumption that that will be the case. It's not maybe they will, but rather they will cause a problem. So Amarova, zot omeret, in mosrim lahen chulin lechatchila. Lechatchila, we do not give over chulin to a chereshot v'katan, because our underlying assumption is that they will cause a problem with the shchita. Now, Rashi over here says that back on Daf Ben Amud Bet, we said that the Gemara asked a question about our Mishnah. How do we lay out the three pieces of our Mishnah? How do we lay it out? How could it be that the latter half of the Mishnah is talking about Cheresh Shoteh V'Katan? Then the language should have been different. It should have said or referenced them directly. The fact that it uses a different Lashon tells us that it's referring to more than just Cheresh Shoteh V'Katan. Rashi explains over here that that means Omed Al Gabehen is not that it doesn't apply to Cheresh Shoteh V'Katan. Cheresh Shoteh V'Katan, Eino Chanami, if someone's Omed Al Gabehen, Bidi Eved, that's a good Shkita. When the Gemara says the Lashon doesn't make sense, if you're saying it refers to Cheresh Shoteh V'Katan, that means if it's referencing them exclusively, then it doesn't make sense. But them, including others, that does make sense. So Rashi over here, as well as over there, says, L'chatchila, we do not give over a animal to a chereshot v'katan to do shchita, even v'acherim omed al gabehen. That's even when others are standing over them and watching. Not like what it sounds like from our Gemara over here, which means that by themselves we don't give it over to them. L'chatchila. But if omed al gabehen, then l'chatchila you could do it. Rashi says, no, that the problem here is even when others are standing over them, we do not allow them to take it to chatchila. And the Gemara earlier on, when said Omed al Gabehen, was saying that it can't be speaking about them exclusively, as we speak about others. But b'di'evit, it is kasher if others are Omed al Gabehen. Tosafot, back on the Daf Bet Amud Aleph, says that he thinks Rashi is incorrect here, and that when Omed al Gabehen, when somebody's standing over them, it's mutar lechatchila to have shchita chereshot v'katan when someone else is watching. And that's from what it sounds like from our Gemara. Zot omeret, ein mosrim lahen chulin lechatchila. You don't give them chulin lechatchila, period. It doesn't say omed al gabehen. It just says chulin lechatchila. Although the implications from that are that b'di'evet, acher shot v'katan would be okay, which is not true. So the problem for Tosafot is, it sounds like here a little bit, a way he's learning the Gemara, that b'di'evet, acher shot v'katan would be okay. But he says when it comes to omed al gabehen lechatchila, it's totally fine for acher shot v'katan. On the other hand, Rashi believes that our Gemara here is discussing Omed al Gabehen, and lechatchila, it's no good even v'Omed al Gabehen, b'di'evet, b'Omed al Gabehen, then it's fine. Again, it doesn't read as well into the Lashon of Rav over here, but it does eliminate that problem of the diuk. If it wasn't good lechatchila, b'di'evet, it would have been good. Rabbeinu Tam, there in the Tosfot, and Bet Amud Aleph offers an alternative. It says, "Ein shochtim lechatchila." We don't give them to do a shchita lechatchila, even for klavim, even for dogs. We don't allow them to do a shchita, even though we know the shchita is going to be psula, because maybe someone will come to eat from that shchita and assume that it's kasher. So we don't give over to them anything, even though we know they're going to mess it up, and it's not for human consumption. Nevertheless, we don't give it to them. So that's Rabbeinu Tam, who gives that third shot or alternative about how to explain the Gemara over here. Now, Gemara says, "V'kulan sheshachtu v'acherim ro'in otam shchitatan kshera." Anybody who does a shchita and then someone else is watching them, then the shchita is fine. Mantano de lo beinan kavanah l'shchita. Who is the author of our Mishnah? Who is the author of a position that says when it comes to shchita, you don't need kavanah? Because over here, the only reason it's kosher is because the person who's standing over him, the individual who's doing the shchita itself, they don't necessarily know what they're doing, and they don't necessarily have kavanah for shchita. Because we could even be talking about a cheresh shoteh v'katan, don't necessarily have kavanah. Now they might have, as Tosfos points out over here, they might have kavanah l'toch, to cut, but they certainly don't have kavanah l'shchita. So Amarava, Rabbi Notan, the author of this position is Rabbi Notan. We'll see this a couple times in the Masechta. Tetani Oshia Zira de Min Chavraya. Over here, Tosfot says that Min Chavraya is from a location called Chavraya. Rashi, later on in the Masechta, says Min Chavraya means from the Bnei Yeshiva. But over there, he also gives two alternatives of how to read it. It's either Oshaya Zira, that's his name, de Min Chavraya, who's from the Bnei Yeshiva, according to Tosfot, from the place called Chavraya. Or the other alternative to read it is the Tana Oshia, that's his name, Zira de Min Chavraya. He was the youngest of the Bnei HaYeshiva. So it's not clear if the Zira is modifying the Oshia, Or is it modifying the Min Chavraya? And again, with the Min Chavraya, does that mean B'nei Yeshiva? Or Chavraya is the name of a place?
Zarak Sakin L'Natza B'Kotel. Someone throws a knife to embed it in the wall.
V'alcha. On its way, it went. V'shachata K'darka. And it cut. It cut. It did a beautiful Shechita.
Rabbi Natan Machshir. Rabbi Natan says, great. You have a kosher animal. Kosher Shechita.
Chamim Puslim. Chamim say it's no good.
Hutanila. V'hu Amarla.
He brought down this machloket between Rabbi Natan and Chachamim, and then he said on that, Halacha ki Rabbi Natan. And Halacha is like Rabbi Natan, that we don't require any kavanah when it comes to Shechita.
Vabinan molichu mevi.
Don't we need a back and forth action when it comes to Shechita? Here he's just throwing the knife, it's going one way. So the Gemara says, Shalchau ba'a kidarka. That it went into the wall, it bounced back, and cut the other way. So it was molich umevi. So Rashi points out the alternative answer would have been that it was just a long enough knife that when you threw it in the single direction that it cut. There's no necessity to go back and forth, except when you have a smaller knife. When you have a large knife, as long as you're moving, either pulling or pushing forward, either way is sufficient as long as the knife is moving. But you have to go back and forth when the knife is shorter. What we don't want is darsa is pressing down. So here, when it went in, if it was a long enough knife and cut all the way through, that would be fine. If it's a short knife, then it has to bounce off the wall and come back and cut in the other direction as well. So even though over here he has chashiv mitkaven l'chatichayz, has kavana to be chotech, nevertheless, the chachamim say, that's no good. You have to have kavanah l'shechita. And Rabbi Natan says, even a fly, even if the knife falls, we'll see that later on in the Masechta, that's considered to be a good shechita. So Rabbi Natan will be the author of our Mishnah. He will then explain why, omed al gabehen, when other ones are watching, that it's a good shechita, even though the individuals doing the shechita itself do not have proper kavanah for shechita. Tosavot asks over here, why is it by shechita that we say that omed al gabehen, when they're standing over there and watching them, that we do not impose kavanah into those individuals that are doing it? Kereshotev katan over here, we say even when an adult is standing over there, nevertheless, that's not considered to be kavanah shechita. On the other hand, the Gemara in Gittin says that if you have a gadol omed al gabehen by the kereshotev katan and teaching them how to write the get, that that's considered to be write a get lishma. So we see that the gadol omed al gabehen can impose or imbue them with this idea of lishma. So why can't he imbue them over here with a kavanah shechita? So Tosfot explains that maybe when we're talking about in Gittin is that when the individual is really all over them. He's standing over there saying, write it like this, do it like this, think like this. He's giving them instructions all the way through. On the other hand, by our Gemara over here, which is implicit from the Mishnah, is that the individual just sees what happens. They're not involved in the process of Shechita. They're just watching what the Cheresh Shoteh and Katan. They're a bystander. So the difference between the ability by Gittin to imbue it with the Lishma that's needed is because the Gadol there is intimately involved in the process of what the Cheresh Shoteh and Katan are doing. On the other hand, over here, they are bystander, they're on the outside just watching to make sure that they don't make a mistake in the shechita. Over there, they can't imbue the kavanah that's needed to get it to be a shechita b'kavanah. Then, Tosfot asks about a shoteh. Does omed al gabehem work by a shoteh? And he says, well, by chalitza, it does not work. But by get, it does work. So he, again, it says, why is there a difference? So he says, possibly we could explain by a get, but the get has to be written for the specific individual, for the city. There's a lot of information, there's a lot of mukha milto, there's a lot of indications that when the shoter writes it, that he's doing it properly in lishma because of what's involved in the get. And then the chalitza, which is a single action, it's not, you don't have to know, even though you supposedly have in mind who you're doing it for, what you're doing it for, but there's nothing there that guides us to say that we know that's what the shoter is thinking. And therefore, when a gadol omed al gabehen, it may not help by chalitza, even though it would help by get. So the more complicated the process is, and the more involved the gadol is, the more we say that he can imbue the action of the Cheresh Shoteh V'Katan with Kavanah. Right now the Gemara is going to begin with a question, where it's going to continue all the way to the Mishnah in the middle of tomorrow's daf. We'll start the Sugya, but we'll have to continue with it tomorrow. And that is Amar Rabbi Chiya Bava, by Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan had a question with regards to a Katan, which is, Katan yesh lo machshava, or ein lo machshava? Does a Katan have the ability to have a machshava, I mean that his machshava, his thoughts will impact on the actions that he does, or not? So now, Rashi says over here, when it talks about machshava, it doesn't mean just pure machshava, but it means machshava im dibur, that he spoke about it. So the question that being posed by Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rashi, is, if the katan, even he speaks about it, he took no action, but he tells you what he's doing, do we say that that's good enough or not? So the machshava here is not thought, but rather dibur, speaking. Amalei Rabbi Ami, viti bayilei maseh. Why is he asking the question about machshava? Why does he ask the question about the katan's action? Maishna ma'aseh de lo kamibai. Why, when it comes to an action, lo mibai, he doesn't have a question? Ditanan, because we have a Mishnah that says Yesh lehen ma'aseh. The Ketanim do have ma'aseh. Their actions are efficacious and do have bearing. So Machshav Anami loti ba'ile. Machshav, for the same reason, which is found in the exact same Mishnah, he should also have an answer to his question. Ditanan, we have a Mishnah. Ein lehem machshava says that they don't have machshava. Ditanan, we have a Mishnah. Ha'alon, when it comes to acorns, Rashi calls them galants, some sort of nuts, harimon, pomegranates, vegos, or other types of nuts. Shechakakum tinokot. The young children went ahead and bored a hole in the shells of these items, and then took out the food that was inside. They basically hollowed them out. Then lamud mahen afar. They wanted to use it for their sandbox. They wanted to use it as a bucket or some sort of collection item. Oh, sheet kinum the kaf mosnaim, or they prepared them to be on a scale as one of the sides on the scale. Tmeim. They are classified as tmeim. Mipnei. Why is this true? Sheyesh leh maaseh. When it comes to ktanim, their maaseh is efficacious. Their maaseh has bearing. Over here, they took action. And it's clear from their action that they're doing it to make a kli. And therefore, since they've made a kli, that kli is mekabel tuma. On the other hand, ve'in leh machshava. They have no machshava. I mean, if they only thought to do this, if they found, as Rashi says over here, a klipate goes that was already prepared, and nobody had intended to use it for a kli, but they think in their mind, we're going to use it for a kli, that's not enough to make it into a kli. By an adult, that wouldn't be the case. If he thought already to have it to make it a kli, it would already be mekabel tuma, because it's yored l'tuma, even by machshava. On the other hand, by the katan, he has to take an action and not a machshava. So this is Rabbi Ami's question to Rabbi Yochanan. Why is Rabbi Yochanan so sure their masa is really good? By machshava, he has a question. The Mishnah addresses both of those issues. The Mishnah says, masa yes, machshava no. So in the same place he knows the information about Maaseh Katan, he should get the information out of Machshavat Katan. We're going to stop here, and we'll continue with the sugya tomorrow. Just to note, again, Rashi over here, when he says Machshava, Machshava means Dibur. Rashi says over here, when it says Maaseh Katan, Rashi says, Kigon, if you look, it's the last line on Yud Bet Amud Bet, Kigon Zeh Shemaseyem Mochachim, Delashem Kli Nitkavnu, V'gam Heim Omrim Kem, and they say it explicitly. So Rashi explains Machshava means Dibur, and Maaseh means an action plus Dibur. They explain what they're doing, and they do it. As opposed to Machshava, where they simply explain what they intend to do, but they never have to take any action, any maaseh, to carry out that Machshava, that intent that they're expressing. And then there's a third category, which we'll get to tomorrow, which is Machshavato Nikiret Mitoch Ma'asav, that it's a Machshava that is clear from their actions. And over there, that means that he didn't speak. I mean, it's a maaseh where he didn't explain to us what he's doing, but from the context, we understand what he's doing. So according to Rashi, there are the three categories that we're dealing with. We're dealing with machshava, which is dibur, maaseh, which is maaseh plus an explanation of what he's doing. And there is machshavato, nikeret mitoch maasav, something where he doesn't explicitly tell us what he's doing, but through his actions, we understand what he's doing. I mean, we without the dibor, he's doing an action without the dibor, but we understand from the context what it is. Tosfot quotes Rashi's explanation here, and he says he doesn't like it. It's because of the Gemara tomorrow. We'll see that Rashi is going to run into a little bit of a problem. He's going to have a difficulty explaining a portion of the Gemara tomorrow. But Tosfot explains differently, and rather he says here that Neir of the Farish de Amirato lav moelit velo meredet elamase gamur, that his speaking has no bearing over here. If he takes an action, the action's good, even if he doesn't explain to us what the action is. Takes an action that's clear from the action what he did. Like over here, where he makes a kli, he doesn't have to tell us he made a kli. He made a kli, then it's fine. Then that is mekabel tuma, even if he doesn't tell us about it. And when it comes to machshava, so machshava is where he simply explains to us, even if he says what he's going to do, or just thinks what he's going to do. Obviously, if he thinks, it doesn't matter, but even if he tells us what he's going to do, maaseh is an independent maaseh, where he doesn't tell us anything, he just does the action. And then the third category, which we discuss with Rashi, which is Machshavato Nikeret Mitoch Ma'asav, that the Gemara has a suffix about. And the suffix is that efficacious like a maaseh? So the only question over there is it classified as a maaseh or not classified as a maaseh? And to the extreme, which is that even if he tells us what he's doing, maybe it's not classified as a maaseh because there's no action over here. On the other hand, even if he doesn't tell us what he's doing, maybe it is a maaseh, because Machshavato Nikeret Mitoch Ma'asav, from the context, it's clear what he's doing, and therefore it'll be classified as a maaseh, even though he doesn't explain us anything. So Tosfos eliminates this extra that Rashi is adding into the sugya over here, which is the need for dibur to accompany the maaseh. Tosfos says there's plain maaseh, there's plain dibur, and then there's this third category of Machshavato Nikeret Mitoch Ma'asav, which again, the dibor is not relevant in it. It doesn't matter what he tells us. It's just a question. Is that classified as a maaseh or not classified as a maaseh? Whether he tells us or he doesn't tell us, it's irrelevant. Whereas Rashi is telling us in the sugya that there's a category of dibur, which is makshava, category of maaseh, which is a maaseh where he explains to us what he did, and then there is makshava toni kerem etoch maasav, is an action that he takes, but he doesn't explain to us what he did. And that's where the Gemara's question is. In a case where he didn't explain it, do we say because of the context that's enough to be classified as a maaseh, as if he explained it to us clearly what he was doing or what he intended? And obviously they're both trying to deal with what the Gemara is going to come up with tomorrow, which is makshava toni kerem etoch maasav. What is that case? Rashi is saying, well, it's a maaseh that's not with dibur, and that's how it's different than the maaseh that's on the end of our Amud today. Tosafot says no, that you can have two different types of maasim. You can have a maaseh where it's absolutely clear what he's doing, like the case in the Mishnah here. You can also have a makshavatoni kerem etoch maasav, is where you have a maaseh where it seems that's what he's doing, but it's not absolutely clear. And therefore, from the context, we would assume that he's doing it right, but it's not mukhrach, it's not absolute. And that's how he explained makshavato nikeret mitoch masav. Okay, we'll continue with that sugya tomorrow.